Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you here this weekend. So glad to be here with you all. And the Silk or Joe Show, of course, is a Main Street Radio Network production. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network right off the bat for allowing this program to exist. Sometimes we butt heads with management over content, but they have our backs in the support the First Amendment, so we appreciate that. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Silk or Joe Show can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. And while you're up there, you might as well check out the Al and Nathan Show. Sometimes I guest host for them as well, and our podcasts are all up on the website as well. So if you missed this edition of the program, or if you want to catch up on earlier editions of the program, you can find it all right up there, mainstreetradionetwork.com. But we are also on social media. Of course, there's the Main Street Radio Network social medias on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, on Twitter at Main Street Radio, on Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network. And there's also Twitter, where we're on... Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. I just went into Twitter because I was debating, should I give out the information for the Al and Nathan Show socials? Might as well, because I already tripped over my words trying to not get them out, so might as well get them out. They can be found on Twitter at Al and Nathan, and also they have alandnathan.com as their website, just in case if you want a show that's similar to this one, but a little longer. Twice the length, as a matter of fact. All right, so I'm going to try something new with this segment. I wanted a segment that I could reuse, you know, just in case I got sick or something. So what I'm going to present today is my one-man play. All right, I couldn't get it on Broadway. I couldn't even get it in the local theater, so I'm giving it to you. I am lying out my teeth, by the way. Don't worry about it. I'm just going to talk about something else. In Ireland, they're working on this new law where if you have a transphobic pic or something on your phone, you will go to prison. Now, why should you care about Ireland? What have they done for me lately, right? But actually, you should because, well, they are part of the model in the Western world that's leading to our collapse as a society, and they're just part of the problem. And the Biden administration is, rather in tune with some of the stuff that goes on overseas. You know, for example, over in Ireland earlier this year, they had this... it was an Algerian immigrant... refugee, I guess, went on a stabbing spree. The Irish people didn't like it at all. So what happens? Well, Irish Socialist Councillor Lillian Sinoy Barr says Irishmen terrorists are the problem, not the migrants stabbing children. That's a headline from, I think that was Gateway Pundit that headline came from. I really should have written that down. It's either Gateway Pundit or Breitbart. Those are pretty much the only news sources I look at. Then there's also... another quote here, try and avoid connecting crime with migration, it's not right. That's from Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar, scolding Irishmen after an Algerian stabbed children in Dublin. So when these people come into this country, come into their country unvetted and go on killing sprees against children, no less, you're the problem if you complain about it. You, the citizen who's been there the whole time. And that's the same procedure for the Biden administration. You know, if you complain about one of their privileged groups doing something, you're the problem. For example, the Nashville shooter, the trans mass shooter, committed a targeted hate crime. We've seen the manifesto. Well, the Biden administration said they stood with trans people when they fight back. That was their response to this hate crime. In the wake of Islamic terror against Israel, the Biden administration said they were worried about Islamophobia, but not anti-Semitism. More hate crimes are committed against whites than blacks, but the Biden administration says it's non-whites they care about, and whites are the supreme terror threat. And, of course, there's more pro-life centers being attacked, threatened, intimidated, and vandalized than abortion centers, twice as many, in fact, than abortion centers in the past decade, yet the Biden administration says they are only concerned about the abortion centers. Oh, and Antifa doesn't exist. So it's not just overseas, it's here, too. And the Biden administration, of course, we should be concerned about this because, well, even members of the Biden administration have proposed laws like this one circling back to in Ireland, where if you have some transphobic imagery on your phone, like the specific example was a transphobic meme of some kind, you just download it to your phone or something, well, you can get arrested. You can go to prison for this sort of thing. And then this ties back in again, Rasmussen poll that showed... half the Democrats out there thought that you should go to prison for saying something bad about the that COVID vaccine. About 60% thought that you should at least be fined or criminally punished or in some way for saying bad things about the vaccine, and somewhere between 40 and 50% actually wanted prison time if you criticized the vaccine. So again, this stuff isn't just overseas, it's here too. But this Irish law, if they go through with it, it's a precedent that the Biden administration might be clear to follow. And here's the thing, they all say it's for the greater good, their censorship. They justify it as being for the greater good. And actually, that is what some dumb blonde proposing this Irish legislation said. How do you argue against that, especially with something so trivial as pronouns, as the case of this Irish legislation? How do you argue against it without sounding petty? It's for the greater good to silence you because these people are hurt by what you said.
Oh yeah? Well, I'm hurt by not being able to hurt them with my words.
That's what it boils down to, if you act on your first instinct and say you're hurt by not being able to speak freely. So instead, break down the situation for the ignorant totalitarian speech police. One side says it's a mental illness to want to mutilate your body until you appear to be the sex that you identify as. That side even says you just have to change your pronouns, and you automatically assume all the characteristics of your new sex. The other side acknowledges reality. The other side believes in science. They know that no amount of surgeries will transform a confused child into a fully functioning version of their opposite gender. It's impossible with our current level of technology. We have two opposing ideologies, and each wants to force itself on the other. Morally speaking, neither side has an advantage because morality is in the eye of the beholder. Objectively speaking, the alleged transphobes are right because reality supports their assertions. Now you have politicians stepping into this and trying to make the reality side illegal. Imagine that, banning reality. So what are they going to do when the trans suicide rate doesn't change a bit, or even rises, after they pass this law? Because they kill themselves, largely because transitioning is not the solution to the mental illness they have. It works for some. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm not saying it's not a good solution for some people, but it's not for anyone, or not for everyone. In fact, anywhere between 40 and 80% of the trans population shouldn't have transitioned. The government response will be to somehow ban more speech, of course, when those suicide rates go up or remain the same. Maybe they'll say trans people kill themselves because someone dared criticize a left-winger and that made them feel sad. We've already seen that sort of speaking before. You know, speech is violence, debate is violence, and all of that. So, the thinking is there for that to happen. It is not hyperbolic to assume that they're going to try and pull something like that, especially here. So, here's point number two, though. You can't let someone's feelings dictate what you're allowed to say. Islam is this, like, what, second or third largest religion on the planet. Are you going to tell them they're no longer allowed to be bigoted against trans? There's more of them than there are trans people, and leftists believe Muslims are so oppressed that they are allowed to murder, rape, and do vicious, medieval, barbaric, subhuman stuff like Hamas does because of how oppressed they are. So then, why is it that their views on LGBT don't deserve a fair hearing? Why does the trans group supersede the Muslim group? The trans group wants people bigoted against them to be exterminated as much as Islam wants trans to be exterminated. So how do you then decide which one deserves to be heard and which doesn't? Well, the government picks what speech is allowed. The government picks which opinions are allowed. The government picks which facts are allowed. The government picks which thoughts are allowed. And that's the real endgame. That's why this trans business is shoved down your child's throat. The government wants your child. The government doesn't want you to have friends or family. The government wants you to love it, to put it above all else. Well, the government and elites in society that run the government anyway, they've said all these things. This is not news. They've taken steps to make sure these ideas are played out. That's not news either. But they don't want the average low-info John Q. public who is trained to believe that anything that isn't aired on ABC or CBS or NBC or their international ilk is a conspiracy theory. As a society, we were taught to place way too much faith in journalists and politicians and government itself. You know, our ancestors knew better, that's why we have the Second Amendment. But over time, as a people, we Westerners seem to have gotten really lazy and tend to outsource everything apparently our thinking to. Which is a real shame, and I guess we also outsourced educating our kids because this is how we get to this point as well. We send them into the public schools where they teach us up is down and left is right, pretty much. Anything is what you say as long as, well, anything is what you believe as long as it doesn't conflict with the Democrat Party narrative, right? So that's the ultimate into self-deception there that our kids are being taught. And, you know, if you don't like reality, just hide yourself away on the internet and surround yourself by a group of friends or a group of news sites or whatever that reinforce your views and do nothing else. Again, debate is violence. So why would you go look at the other side of the issue? And since debate is violence, maybe the government should step in and outlaw it, ban it, ban anything that you don't like. That's the thinking of the left. And it's not just endemic to Ireland where they're trying to pass laws like this. It's here, too. Hey, gee whiz, Chuck Schumer, I just saw this article from back when he was still a congressman, which is must be decades ago. So we're talking early 2000s, even late 90s, where then Congressman Chuck Schumer was talking about banning anything the government deemed a conspiracy theory. And look how long ago that was. You think that this problem is new or recent or the result of Trump derangement syndrome or something like that? No, we've had nuts like this for decades, and now it's the number one man in the Senate who has had this sort of thinking before. So don't think that Ireland law about banning free speech and banning even possessing pictures to the point where you get prison time for it won't happen here, too. The people are in power.
This report is sponsored by IBM. Customer service is now the top priority for CEOs when it comes to applying generative AI, leapfrogging other functions like research, innovation, marketing, and risk compliance. According to the IBM Institute for Business Value, 85% of CEOs expect generative AI to be interacting directly with customers by 2025. Piloting generative AI in customer service now can help accelerate a successful enterprise-wide rollout. Jennifer Quinlan, Global Managing Partner, Customer Transformation, IBM Consulting.
Everyone knows that today's modern consumer expects nothing less than a fast and uniquely personalized experience. Generative AI holds the potential to change the game in customer relationships by truly enabling businesses to deliver tailored recommendations, relevant answers, and extraordinary customer service.
How can businesses get started? Implementing generative AI tools to manage standard customer interactions can free up human agents to engage in more meaningful interactions, enhancing the overall customer experience. To learn more, visit ibm.com/IBV. What tech type am I? To help learners understand how their personalities and strengths translate into tech job roles, IBM has developed a quiz supporting ambitious learners to discover and explore STEM professions they may have thought were out of reach. This free, comprehensive, and practical online quiz uses AI to analyze learners' responses and identify specific job roles to consider, all in 5 minutes or less. Quiz results tell learners what tech professional type they are, and then curates a list of free IBM Skills Build courses and credentials to help get learners there. Lydia Logan, IBM VP, Global Education and Workforce Development.
The Tech Type Quiz is an engaging AI-powered assessment that can help learners envision themselves in a career in STEM. Through IBM Skills Build, we want to reach communities who are underrepresented in technology fields. We provide them with a customized learning path, free coursework, and the opportunity to earn digital credentials to help them on their journeys.
You can find the quiz at techtypequiz.com, sponsored by IBM.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you here today. We are joined now by Steve Abramowitz. He is CEO of Mill Creek View, as well as host of the Mill Creek View podcast. Steve Abramowitz, happy having you on the program. How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I know you want to talk about Nikki Haley here, but before we do that, I am just curious. I never actually bothered to really check it out. Mill Creek View, what is that?
Mill Creek View is a newspaper, e-letter that is at mcview.us. You can get all kinds of heartland news that the mainstream media won't cover. And then it's a free podcast. It's Mill Creek View Tennessee, 3 days a week, that I'm the host of. And there's Mill Creek View Washington, Vincent Cavallari, council member and deputy sheriff, is the host of. And Florida with Julie Barrett. So it's a fast-growing stable of news that you just can't get anywhere else.
Cool. Yeah, I've been meaning to just look at what exactly it was, but, you know, it's like every time I want to get into it, suddenly something else comes up, or I got to write someone else's bio, and then I forget about it because I probably have ADHD that's gone undiagnosed for decades.
Well, I appreciate it, and so do I, or else I couldn't possibly do all that. So, yeah, content is king. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning it.
Sure, happy to. So now, Nikki Haley, I guess she's gotten some funding lately from some not George Soros. I was about to say it because the Koch brothers, they're pretty much the right-wing version of George Soros, at least according to the media. So now the Koch brothers are getting into the race, backing her, but she doesn't have a prayer.
No, it's funny that you say the Koch brothers, because for my entire life, that is exactly right. But it's only David Koch now. He's the billionaire conservative activist and philanthropist who was lauded by the right and rebuked by the left. Actually, no, David died. He was 79. And it's his brother, Charles, that's now at the reins and showing his true colors. And this is all no surprise, really, because there was a memo released back in February. They said that they would work against Trump and mentioned Nimarata very early. That is the Pushtun word for humility. But that's what Nikki Haley doesn't like to go by, her real name.
Hmm. So what is it they see in her? Why do they pick her rather than DeSantis or Ramaswamy?
It's really interesting because they are actually diametrically opposed to what the Koch brothers stood for all those many years, because she's anti-wall, pro-illegal immigrant. She's a neocon for the most part. She's had lots of speaking engagements, made a lot of money with defense contractors, and that is not what the Koch brothers stood for. But apparently Charles Koch is willing to do ABT, anybody but Trump. And so the machine back in Time Magazine said they were going to spend a bunch of money to make sure it's not Trump. They raised $70 million back in June, likely more now. They spent $69 million in the 2022 cycle, so likely way more. And now they're joining the Conservative Club for Growth in openly working to oppose Trump's 2024 candidacy. But I think what it really does is hurt DeSantis more so than it even does Trump, because the polls don't show Nikki being very formidable against Trump, but she's tied in some polls with DeSantis out of Florida. So South Carolina versus Florida, that could be the real play here. And his group, Americans for Prosperity, has never really endorsed a presidential candidate before. So this is really personal vendetta type stuff. It's crazy.
Hmm. And it seems to be part of a race for second place, though, as far as they're concerned. Do they really think that they have any hope of dethroning Trump? We've seen the Democrats have tried it for years, and so has the deep state. None of them have worked. So what makes the Koch brothers think that their millions are going to make a difference? Or it's the Koch brother.
She's the only one that came out of Iowa, the debates there, with any momentum, where she actually grew. So I think they're just kind of chasing the hot dot, so to speak, you know, the meteoric rise. And we see this every election cycle. Somebody rises and they fall. Someone right first, it's Christie, then it's Giuliani, then it's whatever. But the ultimate goal is, no, they're not going to knock him off, because the voters don't want establishment. So the Des Moines Register did a poll. They had 43% of likely Republican caucus goers naming Trump as their first race, but Haley was tied in distant second with Florida's Ron DeSantis at 16, though she is the only candidate showing substantial upward momentum in Iowa. So I think they just grabbed onto them. She had 72 Iowa endorsements coming out of there too, and they said, well, there's got to be someone. May as well go with the former governor of South Carolina, female candidate, Republican, even though they don't ideologically agree, just showing that Charles is probably more idealistic than he is patriotic.
Mm. So what then happens when Nikki Haley inevitably doesn't become the presidential candidate, or is Charles Koch just hoping to that Trump will end up in prison by then?
Well, I mean, last year they participated in 457 races with their money, knocking on 7 million doors and the mailing of more than 100 million pieces of stuff that they bankrolled. So, you know, what will they do if she isn't the nominee? They'll probably work really hard to get her to be the vice president. Look how that worked with Pence. And if that doesn't work, they'll work really hard to make sure that all their congressmen and senators don't help Trump do what he's going to do, assuming he wins, or horror of horrors, they back the Democrat with their money to help that person try to beat him too. And if that doesn't work, who knows? You know, like Chuck Schumer said, six ways from Sunday. They also, interestingly enough, they were working with Charles Kushner. He hosted a private lunch for Nikki Haley in New Jersey, calling her the first woman president. So we do have some serious money, political operators not wanting to see Trump elected, but we kind of knew that, right?
Mm-hmm. And just this serious money push there, it's reminding me of in 2020, well, the 2020 race is actually more of 2019, where the money in the media, they were behind Kamala Harris, and then the moment that it came time to actually vote for candidates, she flopped big time. So is that possible that we'll see that with Nikki Haley, and then all these donors will be scrambling to find their new hopeful anti-Trump weapon?
That's the way it seems for sure. But, you know, she does represent South Carolina. And when Scott dropped out, they needed somebody who represents, you know, the U.S. military generates a whopping $34 billion in annual economic activity and about 250,000 jobs in South Carolina. Trump needs South Carolina to win even the primary. So, you know, the military accounts 7% of South Carolina's entire economy. So that's a big deal. So to have her, the neocon, the pro-war candidate on your team, to kind of fight the military-industrial complex battles versus, say, Trump and no wars in his 4 years, that could very well be, you know, the big impetus, the big push to make sure that the country knows that that's the preferred candidate over the guy we all think we want, the reformer and the outsider Donald Trump.
Hmm. Yeah, and it's just that's the state of the country we're in, I guess. We now have the elites trying to battle for control of the Republican Party, and it seems like they already took control of the Democrat Party right out from under the nose of the average worker that the Democrats claim they stood for.
But the state doesn't want it. You know, he was at the South Carolina game, the Carolina game, and they cheered him, and they were, you know, I don't think Nikki could fill a high school gym, and there was a poll taken in South Carolina where Trump had 53%, Haley at 24.
Oh. Actually, our segment is over right now, but if you could stick around for a moment.
Cyber criminals are getting more sophisticated in how they target everything from your personal information to our national security. The U.S. Army Reserve's elite cyber soldiers are on the front lines in the battle against international hacker networks and a host of threats from cyber crooks. Chief Warrant Officer 3, Jack Scott.
The best protection against cyber attacks is to stay vigilant. For beginners, avoid opening unsolicited emails or texts from unfamiliar people or groups, and refrain from clicking on any unknown links. Additionally, steer clear of using free public Wi-Fi for online shopping, checking bank accounts, or accessing sensitive information. Consider using a VPN to help keep your online activities protected. Check your privacy settings to make sure you have control of who can access your posts.
The U.S. Army Reserve has more than 120 career paths, including cyber specialized soldiers. For more, visit usar.army.mil.
New federal data confirms that illegal, disposable, flavored e-cigarettes drive youth vaping. Here's former Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Gil Kerlikowski.
The latest data shows that Chinese-made illegal, disposable vapes marketed in youth-enticing flavors are pouring into our country. The DEA has warned that these illegal products can be laced with fentanyl. The FDA must increase enforcement action.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
The federal ban on menthol cigarettes could have unintended consequences for Hispanic communities. Here's United States Hispanic Business Council President Javier Palomares.
You know, history has taught us that prohibitions just don't work. A federal ban on menthol cigarettes would hurt minority-owned small businesses. It would make communities of color more vulnerable to criminalization and bolster cartel pocketbooks. It's just simply bad policy, and it must be withdrawn.
Sponsored by the United States Hispanic Business Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. And we are still joined by Steve Abramowitz. He is CEO of Mill Creek View, as well as host of the Mill Creek View podcast. Steve, the break kind of interrupted it, but you were talking about the drawing power of Nikki Haley versus Trump.
Yeah, so especially South Carolina, which we're fighting for a primary, right? So the military gives about $1.2 billion in economic output to South Carolina. The Department of Defense spent $6.1 billion in South Carolina last year, and 25th most, about 50% of Pentagon spending in the state went to contractors, and 50% went to payroll for federal Department of Defense employees and military personnel. Okay, so very important, right? But Now, take this with a grain of salt. There's a pro-Trump super PAC called MAGA Inc. By longtime Trump pollster Tony Fabrizio's firm. And so it could be biased, but, you know, pretty telling. In the test of the full current field, the poll shows Trump with 53% in South Carolina, Haley with 24%, and DeSantis with 11%, figures roughly in line with independent surveys. But when Trump and Haley were matched up one-on-one, Trump led 64% to 31%. So, again, I think this has a lot more to do with getting DeSantis out of it than it does with Nikki Haley having the chance to be president of the United States, which if she won't even admit to her real name or that we can't be anonymous online socially, why would any MAGA candidates vote for that?
Mm. Right. Yeah. Nikki Haley just is not offering anything that the party, at least the party voting base, seems to want. It's almost like they're just trying to say, trying to get it whittled down so that she is the only choice.
They would love that. They would love if she was just that choice and then give her all the money and all the open space and all the oxygen in the room and all the microphones, but it's not going to happen. I mean, we're a year away from the actual election, 11 months next week. And so I just think it's one of these things where it's like anybody but Trump, how can we make a mess? And she seems to have the only other momentum in the base because you've got Christie at zero, you've got Pence dropping out, you've got Scott dropping out, all the other ones that they were keeping an eye on aren't going to happen. I'm pretty sure DeSantis being the only real formidable candidate because he has a record of success. I mean, if there was no such thing as Trump, I think DeSantis would be hands down everybody's favorite candidate. He's got a proven track record of what he did in Florida. People move there. They have a vote with their feet, be there near him. But I think that's good news for Florida. He'll be sticking around, and bad news for the Koch, Mr. Koch, because he's not going to get his current flavor of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yep, not getting his money's worth with that. So what's the strategy then after that? Because whether Trump wins or loses the election or not, you know, where do you go from there? You've tried to you now have your reputation scarred. You've been trying to sabotage the candidate that at least the base of the party actually wanted. And in all this Trump derangement, I guess, you ended up making yourself look pretty bad. So who's going to listen to the next candidate that you say is going to be in charge of the party? Or does that really matter at that point, especially if Trump is defeated? Because then you've just sort of proven yourself that, hey, we're the ones who really should be running this show.
Well, I mean, Charles is the older one. He's 88. And he is smart and savvy enough to know that she can't win. So my guess is what he's really doing is he's ruining his reputation, ruining the legacy of his brother. And this is their first presidential candidate endorsement. You know what I'm saying? Like Andy Ogles from Tennessee, where I am, he was an American for Prosperity's employee, I guess, you know, before he became an elected congressman. So they have a legacy, a history that is on the line here by maybe being on the wrong side of history. Let's put it that way, along with, you know, Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law's dad, who he pardoned because Chris Christie went after him. I mean, we're seeing some Shakespearean kind of family stuff here, but that doesn't mean it's going to win, right? Money is not the end-all be-all in politics. It's important, but it doesn't always win. Trump had a very cheap election versus what Hillary Clinton spent, almost $1 billion, right? And still won. So I have a feeling that, answer your question, what this is going to do is it's going to ruin Charles Koch's legacy and the legacy of his brother for being America first, because they were anti-illegal immigration. They were pro-wall. That's not Nikki Haley's deal. So it reminds me a lot of when Jack Kemp and Bob Dole shook hands and came together, president, vice president, and lost against Clinton because everyone could see on the Republican side that, wait a minute, this is a marriage made of convenience, not of love. They had a history of different policies in the Republican Party for a long, long time. One was a big spender. One was actually, you know, came up with the Reagan tax cut. So what I'm trying to say here is I think the strategy is so personal, and he's broken. His mind is broken. He's like De Niro. He's like some of these other folks. The left hates him. You know, Bill Maher said that he hoped his brother would rot in hell after he died, but yet they're kind of getting in bed with him just for anybody but Trump. And that's not a really good strategy to best, in my humble opinion. What they should do is get behind Trump or whoever the Republican candidate ultimately is. But that's not going to be the case if Trump is the candidate and now they're going to have the tape. That's not a good way to run a country.
No. And just this whole idea, anyone but Trump is good. That's what we had in 2020 with some of the Republicans jumping over to join the Joe Biden train. And, you know, had the Lincoln Project, for example. Biden is as far removed from conservative values as anyone. Yet you had these alleged conservatives banding together to try and push you to vote for him.
You got it. With Mitt Romney resigning, this is now replacing the never Trump head with money. And it may be a waste of money. It's very possible that happened 4 years ago, years ago now.
Well, I hate to jump tracks here, but originally I was going to want to cover this other topic in this segment, but then you were talking so good, I had to ask you to stay over. But I'm going to surprise you with this, and I just want to get your on-the-spot opinion on it. So Northwestern University, they said taxpayers should pay for journalism. We should subsidize media, I guess, because right now media is kind of flopping, like CNN or whatever. They got to worry about their finances and their viewership. So Northwestern University, apparently a major producer of journalists, said, hey, the taxpayer should just cover it. What's your take on that?
Well, as an owner of a small hometown newspaper that is always looking for ad revenue, I love the idea of free money, but hate the idea of the universities or the government providing it, because then you have to follow their rules. Just like if you let woke advertisers advertise on Fox, they're going to destroy your brand and move you from the right to the middle, or even worse, to the left. So I hate it, because that is not what a free press, a fourth pillar state, should do by being beholden to your new masters, which in this case would be the government. I believe that most public universities are the government, so I would hate that, and I wouldn't accept it, to be honest with you. I've learned in my years in journalism that the reason why the New York Times and the Washington Post have survived is because billionaires have bought into it, like Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, one of the richest men in the world, and don't care about making money off of it. They just want it for their vanity. That is never a good thing when you're trying to report the news and tell the truth, because sooner or later they're going to say you cannot report on the environmental disaster of our space program or the downtrodden workers in our warehouses, you know, that type of thing. So I hate it, to be honest with you. And thanks for asking, because I've had a whole show based on it. A whole series of shows based on the government industrial complex, including censorship and media, and how that never, never goes well unless you want to create a tyranny.
So where can we find, I do have another question, but I just want to get this onto the show before I move to the next question about the Northwestern U thing. But where can we find your whole series on this?
Well, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, pretty much everywhere you get podcasts has the entire library. It's about 152 shows. I just had Dinesh D'Souza on last night. Lots of great content there. You can find it. It's also on Rumble. I have a Rumble channel because of what you just said. I don't want YouTube to take it down when I talk about COVID vaccines or whatnot. And then, of course, mcview.us is where everything is housed, including my columns, my contributors' columns, my news, and all the podcasts as well.
All right. Now, going back to the Northwestern University topic, you mentioned how it just seems like it would be a gross violation of the First Amendment by getting government basically to control what you're allowed to say by saying, oh, we'll take your money away if you don't say what we want you to say. Oh, shoot, we got about a minute left here, so you get the final thought on this. Northwestern U actually said it was to protect the First Amendment by doing this.
Yeah, well, they're lying like they always do, because if you Google any school and the initials NIH and you see how much money the government has put into prop them up, basically bail them out, which is what they're trying to do with the liberal press, is bail them out, because 90% of the press is liberal. It proves the point that they just want them to say what they want to say for the administration, not what the truth is.
All right, Steve Abramowitz, CEO of Mill Creek View, as well as host of the Mill Creek View podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Silk Road. Thank you for being on the Silk Road Joe show today. Appreciate that. And we appreciate listeners for tuning in. And we have more show coming up after this break.
New federal data confirms that illegal, disposable, flavored e-cigarettes drive youth vaping. Here's former Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Gil Kerlikowski.
The latest data shows that Chinese-made illegal disposable vapes marketed in youth-enticing flavors are pouring into our country. The DEA has warned that these illegal products can be laced with fentanyl. The FDA must increase enforcement action.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
Kia America honors veterans by connecting highly trained former military technicians with meaningful new careers at Kia retailers through the Kia Veterans Technician Apprenticeship Program, VTAP. Launched earlier this year in partnership with Educational Resource Systems Incorporated, the program is a U.S. Department of Labor and GI Bill approved national apprenticeship. Kia VTAP provides master-level trained veteran technicians with career access to hundreds of participating Kia retailers nationwide. Eligible veterans may also elect to receive a substantial monthly GI Bill stipend during their 12-month apprenticeship. Greg Silvestri, Vice President, Service Operations.
Kia VTAP is delivering skilled and experienced military veterans to our retailers during this period of unprecedented record sales and growth. I'm inspired by the quality and tenacity of these veterans as we honor them and all military veterans who served in the U.S. Armed Forces.
For more information, visit KiaVets.com. Sponsored by Kia America.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have three wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour. We are now joined by Chris Widener. He is founder of the Red Referral Network. Chris, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad to have you. So you've been on before to talk about the Red Referral Network, but you know how it goes when you have an archive of podcasts. Someone has to dig all throughout them to find the specific one where you were on talking about. So just update us on it.
Sure. Yeah, the Red Referral Network is a project that Dinesh D'Souza and I are working on. We are officially launched now. We're doing our free registration at redreferralnetwork.com, and it is a national conservative business network. It's national, but we need in local groups giving conservatives the opportunity to do business with one another. So very excited about it. We've already had thousands of people register for free, and we're excited about where it's going to go and what it's going to take us to in the next couple years.
Cool. Now, are you seeing, I don't know, if you look at the registrations, are you seeing like a geographic pattern, or is it just everyone across the country?
Everybody across the country. It's been interesting. You know, some people have said, well, I wonder if it will do better in conservative areas than liberal areas. And actually, my theory is going to be as we build it out, I don't know that we have enough to really get a solid, you know, demographic on it yet. But I would imagine that it might actually be more successful in liberal areas where conservatives kind of feel like they're on the out and they need to get together with other conservatives more often to stay empowered and encouraged. So that will actually be interesting to see over the course of, you know, when we're at 20, 30, 40,000 registrants, we'll be able to tell that a little bit better. But that's a great question.
Hmm. Yeah, I can actually see it going that way just because if you're in a red district, you know, you just assume automatically the person that you're dealing with will probably be a conservative. But then if you're in a liberal district and you want to, you know, steer clear of the sort of blue areas, blue businesses, then you might be wondering, well, you know, maybe I should better use this Red Referral Network here. And certainly you have more cause, too, because you really don't know who you're dealing with and where that money is going to go that you're spending with them.
Yeah, I'm in Chattanooga, and it's very red. You know, most of the people we end up doing business with, you know, just in general, without even asking, you know, eventually it comes up, you know, your landscaper shows up with a T-shirt that says, don't tread on me, you know, those kinds of things. You can kind of tell, but I used to put on political events, and, you know, we thought, well, should we go into a big, you know, liberal city? And I talked to a few of the GOP county chairs or whatever, and they said, oh, man, we would love to have you come here because conservative politicians and people like that, they never come here. Presidential candidates, they don't come here very often because, you know, they typically write off Massachusetts and Washington and California because they know they're not going to get any, you know, they're not going to win that state. And I suppose it's the opposite as well. You know, you probably don't see a lot of Democrat presidential candidates going into deep, deep red play. Like, you know, Joe Biden isn't going to make a lot of trips to Tennessee this year, you know, because he knows Tennessee's going to always go red anyway. So, that's a great question. And we're excited to be able to help people, whether they're in a red state or a blue state, to do business with people who share their values.
Hmm. Now, do you see any concern about this? Like, for example, someone who's blue and in a blue state, they decide to go into your red referral network just to see who the red people are, the red businesses, who otherwise might have been hiding their values, and then, you know, just start exposing them from that.
Well, it's definitely something that could happen, but frankly, it's already happening. The far left, I wouldn't say that your average run-of-the-mill Democrat, but the far left is already very active in canceling and trying to do harm to people who run just regular old businesses. I know a local business here in Chattanooga, small little retail business, and in downtown Chattanooga, some left-wing activists found out that she was a conservative. And they started handing out flyers and targeting her business. And it was really horrible and horrible for her to have to go through. So, you know, definitely you're going to have to go on the record if you want to join the Red Referral Network. You know, people, you can register your business there as well. So people will be able to sort by zip code and they'll be able to find you. But, you know, I'm not worried about being known as a conservative. I already am. I've suffered for that. You know, my day job is I'm a professional speaker. I'm in the Motivational Speakers Hall of Fame, but I've had people literally hire me, tell me I'm hired, and then call me back a few days later and say, well, somebody on our board, they found out that, you know, you're a Trump supporter, and so they don't want to bring you in to get a seat. And I tell them, you realize that I'm going to talk about my book, The Art of Influence. I'm not going to talk about politics at all. I would never do that. As a matter of integrity, I would never do that. And they're like, I know, but, you know, Margaret on the board hates Trump supporters, and so she would cause a big problem, so we really can't bring you in. I've literally lost millions of dollars in speaking fees and product sales because of who I vote for. So, you know, I don't think that it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That's not really the way that we're, you know, the philosophy that's driving us. But it's really, you know, when you look at historically, it's traditionally been done out of religious movements. For example, Mormons tend to do business with Mormons. Jewish people tend to do business with Jewish people. Out where I live, big Seventh-day Adventist population, people like to do business with people who share their values and their belief system. Doesn't mean that they won't do business with somebody, but they always give sort of a first crack at the business to somebody who shares their values. And that's what we're encouraging people to do. Give your money to people who are going to use that money to support causes and politicians who you believe in. Instead, when you do business, from my perspective as a conservative, when I do business with a left-wing business, let's say I hire a liberal roofer to do my roof and I give him $30,000 to completely redo my roof, and he turns around and gives $3,000 of that to get Joe Biden reelected, and then Joe Biden stands with the bully pulpit of the presidency of the United States and says Chris Widener and people like him are racist, homophobic, transphobic insurrectionists. Why would I continue to fund that message by doing business with people on the left? And I've just decided at this point in my life that I'm not going to do that anymore. I think if the left became a little less cancel culture, I think we could all learn to get along again. But in the meantime, I'm not going to be tipping my executioner, which is a term I heard from another guy. He said, yeah, doing business with somebody on the left as a conservative is like tipping your executioner. Thanks for killing me. Here's $100. And we just decided to create an alternative at RedRefuelNetwork.com.
Well, I guess it also brings into question the person's business acumen if they support the left, too, because we've seen how Bidenomics has worked. So if this person runs a business and thinks Bidenomics is the model to follow, are you really going to trust them?
Well, I got to tell you, what's funny to me, and I've noticed this, and you probably have as well, there are a lot of people who are capitalists in their personal life, but they are socialist in terms of the political movements that they support because they keep their own money, but they want to shuffle everybody else's money.
Hmm. Oh, Chris Widener, we're at the end of the segment, but again, could you give us the website?
Yeah, redreferralnetwork.com, free registration, and we'd love to see you over there.
All right, listeners, we're done with you for the day, so you can go check them out. But if you want to check us out, our website is mainstreetmedianetwork.com, and we're also on social media, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silker Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.